snares and drums! By the center! Quick! Part!
Is King. Welcome back, everybody, to the Terror of Demons Man Show with co-host and author of the book, Terror of Demons. Kennedy, are you still living the dream in full communion in Canada?
I am.
Call me Canada.
And anyway, I'm in full communion with the snow. We got about 4.5 feet in 48 hours.
Oh, yeah. I'm living the dream over here in Michigan. I'm loving this snow. It's magical Advent season. It's a new liturgical year, y'all. Year of Jubilee, hope, all that good stuff. And it's a great time to make a new commitment, a new resolution as a man. In fact, you could make a commitment to buy Kennedy's new book. Tell us about your new book, Kennedy. When's that going to come out?
Well, there's two of them. So my charismatic book called Charismania is set to be released December 12th, God willing, in honor of Our Lady of Guadalupe, who's obviously very instrumental in my life.
Is that with Sophia?
No, that is self-published. Augustinus Press, my made-up publisher through Amazon. And then March, my modernism book called What Happened to Catholicism? The Heresy Behind the Current Crisis is set to be released. And the the full release date actually says March 18th, which is my birthday, and the Vigil of St. Joseph. And I didn't ask for that date, so perhaps it's providential.
Wait. Awesome. That's fantastic. And we've got the third annual Canadian Martyrs Men's Conference coming up.
That's right. February 7th and 8th.
Tell us about this. This Marcel Stannis, I believe, he's associated with your parish, right? I think I've seen him before. I recognize his
Yeah,
face.
He gave a talk last year, but he was not the keynote. He's going to be the keynote this year. And it's set to be a great event. And it keeps growing every year, so we're very excited.
And, yeah. Great. Last
year there was about 30 Americans or so. We're not too, as you know, far from the border. So if you're not too far from either Detroit or Buffalo or Port Huron, one of those places, it's pretty easy to get there within, 3 or 4 hours total travel time, which is worth it. And the hotels are very affordable actually as well. Two men can share a room with two double beds for like $70 each per night. That's in Canadian dollars, so that's like Monopoly money. So for you guys,
it's like $10 American. Yeah,
they're basically paying you to stay there. So it's a good deal.
Yeah, that's what they do in commie Canada, right? They pay you to stay places.
That's right.
Everything free in Canada, no problems. It's a paradise utopia, socialist utopia. Dean says he's read Terror of Demons twice. Great stuff in there. Thanks, Dean.
Thank you, Dean.
Glad you did that. And before we get into our topic today, please donate to 1 Peter 5. We've got our Giving Tuesday here in these United States. Today is Giving Tuesday to correspond with Black Friday in the United States, which is where all the nonprofits appeal to your generosity. We are currently, we've got a promotion where we can double your money, double your fun. That's how we do it in the United States, these capitalist United States. So please donate to 1 Peter 5. You can click on the link. Here we are currently at $5,000 of the $20,000 total. So please click on the link and donate to help us out. I'll put this in the chat. So Kennedy, tell us about apologetics. I loved your video. It was like a month ago, and this really struck me as a very, very important problem to address. what's your take on this apologetics issue? Go ahead.
Right. Well, and it's providential that we're having this conversation in 1 Peter 5, because 1 Peter 5 is one of the last of the Mohicans when it comes to a place of good Catholic apologetical debate. That was kind of the crux of what I was talking about, is that, you know, Marshall McLuhan, he was actually a very faithful Catholic, Canadian scholar on media and the effect of media. And he has the famous message, or the famous statement, that the medium is the message. And what that means is that the way that we use certain technologies and the technologies that we use alters what we say and how it's received. And obviously it's a platitude. It's not an absolute. You can express good information and be helpful to people on a variety of platforms that can also be used for bad things. But in general, the way that we interact with certain media technologies, there are temptations in there to have our information fit what is the way that people expect to be spoken to by how they associate with those platforms, and also to basically to fall into the temptations of what is popular. And YouTube at this point, we are on YouTube, it can be used well, I believe that. I wouldn't be on it if I didn't think it could be used well. But it is in many ways and has become more of a social media. Yeah, YouTube in, you know, the glory days of, you know, 2007 and 8 and 9 and 10, you know, when it was kind of first becoming a thing, it was just a place where people dumped videos. And honestly, it was the search engine was not that great, and it was kind of just like word of mouth and whatever. People would share things in their chats and stuff, and it was just a place of video dumping ground. But over time, as Google has become more sophisticated, they've enhanced YouTube's search capabilities with the same capabilities of YouTube. The same capabilities of Google. And YouTube is the world's second largest search engine, if you can imagine. And it's a marketplace of entertainment at this point. And yes, people put things on there that are not for quote unquote entertainment value, like a silly video of cats flying off of ceiling fans or something. There's nothing wrong with that. It's funny to watch.
It's my daughter's favorite videos, the cats and the cucumbers.
Those are good. But that poses a problem, or it poses a challenge, when we're trying to engage as Catholics. And we have to be held to a higher standard. We are not supposed to be out there, you know, giving people bread and circuses. We're supposed to be ultimately trying to help people realize the truth in whatever capacity is appropriate for our state and life. And for some of us, that could include public intellectual conversations, if that's what we are good at and whatever. And but the problem is with YouTube is that it's a marketplace of entertainment. So what I've seen, and I'm sure everyone's seen this, and I know many people are tired of it. It's not just me being this, you know, cranky rad trad. People are tired of this trend in the world of what we would call Catholic apologetics turning into a place where there's this mentality of kicking the hornet's nest in order to create conflict so that more traffic comes to a particular channel.
Right.
And that is common, not only in some of the big ones, and it's very common in some of the big ones. And I don't even want to mention them, because whenever you mention them, then you are hit with some sort of hit piece, which is proving the point. And it's also a style that's been adopted by many young Zoomer, quote unquote, Zoomer types, not our friend Traditional Thomist, because he has some self-respect.
Yes, one of the best Zoomers out there right there.
He's
no,
he's,
not knocking on Zoomers.
I am. He's redeeming the Zoomers. They need to.
There we go.
Yeah. In any event, so this is something that creates a really toxic atmosphere where Catholic apologetics is in some ways like turning into, you know, fast food versus something that actually nourishes you. And it's starting to become kind of tabloidy, and even major outlets have adopted these tactics because it's popular. You know, if you inundate people with salacious titles and you use other, you know, celebrities or content creators or whoever is going to generate some sort of traffic, and you, you know, do those sorts of things as any secular channel would do for strict entertainment purposes, you will see your metrics grow. And those are the only metrics you can measure, aren't they? You know, if you're someone who is, you know, running an apostolate or whatever, and your mandate is to show the donors, who are basically the investors, but we call them donors, especially if they're large donors, if you're supposed to show them that their money is well spent, well, you can't show them how many people have converted. You can't quantify the, the quality of the argument. All you can show them is, here's our channel. Here's how much money you gave us. Here is how much it's grown. Here's how much money the channel has garnered. And here is how the, you know, online impressions have increased. And so-and-so is, et cetera, more popular.
Here's the analytics.
Here's the analytics. And that's really dangerous for Catholic apologetics, because that's not what it's supposed to be about. Now, I also want to say before I stop ranting here, I'm also not of the opinion that no Catholics should do anything for money. That's ridiculous, because, like...
That's communist. Let's just be...
Well, it's also just stupid. Like, you know, sometimes, like, even if, like, okay, I always use this as an example. Let's just say tomorrow, Tim Flanders, he's at Adoration, and he has this aha moment, and for some reason writes for us, like, the Imitation of Christ 2.0. And he's like, I don't want to make money on this, but he publishes it on Amazon as a self-published book, and literally he makes $1 per copy. Well, if a million people buy that, he hasn't tried to make any money on it, but he's made $1 million. There's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is that there's this fine line. There's this fine line when you start to want to be, you know, an influencer in the influencer crowd, and it gets in the way of doing your content properly. And I also want to make it clear, I lied, I'm going to stop after this. I want to make it clear that I'm talking about apologetics. That's different than news. I mean, news has its own problems. Commentary has its own problems. But apologetics is supposed to be intellectual, thoughtful, measured, virtuous, and so forth. But once you start mixing the sort of tabloid mentality with it, you're now turning apologetics into something like professional wrestling, and it's not supposed to be that way. I think it's wrong.
Yeah, I think I love what you said, because I do feel like the internet has stunted masculinity. It has stunted Catholic men acting like men, because it feeds on effeminacy. The whole system is based on getting a pleasure out of whatever it is, whether that's the likes or the serotonin boost or the analytics that are great or the money that's coming in, whatever it is, it prevents and incentivizes a man to act like a boy. And I just want to appeal to, I'm not trying to take it. Like, I'm not trying to, neither of us is trying to target anybody in particular. Cause I know, and you said in the video, like, you've done this too. I've done this too. You know, I've made mistakes. I've said things that I've regretted on the internet. And St. James says that teachers will be judged more harshly. So I have to fear the judgment of Almighty God and look to what I'm saying and try to be careful about what I'm saying. So I'm just appealing. We're just appealing to Catholic men out there and saying, hey, brother in Christ, if you have a problem with me and what I have said, let's talk man to man. So send me an email. Reach out to me. Let's talk. If you think I'm a heretic, or if you think I'm a blank or a title or this label or that label, well, it's one of the few moments in the Gospels where the Lord Jesus gave us a step-by-step guide as to what you're supposed to do. He says, go to your brother and talk to him man to man. He doesn't say man to man, but he says one-on-one. And then he says, if that doesn't work, you take a group with you. And then if that doesn't work, then you tell it the truth. In none of those instances did he say, go to the public square and proclaim that this person with this name is now a label. That's just totally against charity. It's not where we talk man to man, where we can have, you're a gentleman, I'm a gentleman. We can have a friendly debate. We can disagree. We can even vehemently disagree. And, you know, and I don't have it all figured out. I want another man to say, hey, bro, slow your roll, man. That's out of line. I want somebody to say that to me. If you're a man of God, you want to be rebuked. That's something that we want. Proverbs says, rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Rebuke a fool and he will hate you. So we should actually want to have some kind of correction. I want to have a back and forth with another man and work it out. And this is what being a man of God is about, being a gentleman, an intellectual. But there's just none of that. It's just a cycle of likes and all this stuff.
There's also the reality that you also don't have to say anything. And there are a few kind of fallacies involved. Like, okay, obviously, you can't talk to everybody who says something on the internet if you don't know them. Like, this is the thing that, you know, if, I don't know, Matt Walsh on the Daily Wire is a Catholic, and I don't watch his show, I know he's funny, and I obviously know what he does, but like, let's say he said something that was theologically ridiculous. I don't know Matt Walsh. There's no way I can talk to Matt Walsh. So if I was in a position where I wanted to comment on it because I thought it was important, if I was going to talk about Matt Walsh, for one, I should try to be careful with how I say it. Secondly, or I can just talk about the idea. I can just talk about what was said. I can just say, this is something that I've seen, and I think that this is wrong. And the reason I think it's wrong is because, you know, all of these doctrinal statements from X, Y, and Z say it's wrong, or whatever. I mean, there's a way to do it. Also, there is this idea that because, and I use this in the one video I did, and people treat a lot of these people treat every single thing you say on social media or on YouTube or wherever as an invitation for a conflict. And the analogy I used is like, that's ridiculous. Like, if you go to the gym to shoot hoops, you are not saying that I necessarily am now open to a free throw competition with every man who wants to beat me. It's like, I enjoy doing this. I like to shoot the way that I like. Some people like to shoot hoops with me, and maybe I might play with you if you'd like, but I'm not, quote unquote, you know, backing down because I choose not to play one-on-one. I'm not here for that. And that's fine. Now, if I start going off and running my mouth and saying I'm the greatest basketball player of all time because I don't miss three free throws, well, now I've probably said something stupid because I'm terrible at basketball personally. Now I'm in a position where you might be able to argue that I'm challenging others because I'm comparing myself to them. But if you're just somebody who, I mean, a lot of the time when I do podcasts about some aspect of Catholic tradition, I'm just commenting on something from a book that I find interesting. I am not putting it out there because now I think I need to get into a back and forth with 27 different twerps on YouTube who are, you know, using AI to find quotes from Thomas Aquinas why I'm somehow wrong on this. And it's like, what are you even doing with your life? There was one guy out there, a young guy, and I tweeted something. It was about the infallibility of canonizations. And there are disputes on that. I mean, Dr. Kwasniewski edited a book with articles from both sides of the equation. And it's not like something you approach with kid gloves. And I made a tweet about like, well, these are the reasons why I think it could be argued. And it was just a tweet. It was like 200 characters. I think this might have been before premium. This is just a tweet. I kid you not, the guy made a 3-hour podcast on why I was a heretic, according to Thomas Aquinas. And I'm like, my goodness, what are you doing? This is beyond absurd. It's a tweet, for goodness sake. Anyway, that's the kind of thing that's happening. When you mentioned the effeminacy thing, I have noticed, because I've got some relationships with many of these quote unquote content creators, as you do. There are a few individuals out there who never engage in conflicts with any other individual Catholic podcaster at all. And I know these men personally, and they are very solid men who just don't care and let it slide. And they have millions of people out there, or not millions, tons of people out there who would like to just have them bite at something so they can get a piece of them. Whereas, you know, I've had some interactions with some of these major content creators that are not of that persuasion. And my interactions behind the scenes have been very disappointing, you know, very, like shocking as to how another man would deal with another man. And I'm just saying, correlation is not causation, but there seems to be a correlation with the lack of virtue and to be able to do that, you know. And I think it's a major problem. And I think ultimately what's the worst part about it, yes, it's detracting from good discourse. Secondly, it is also confirming people in vices. And, so the more that these people do this stuff, the more instant gratification they get, and the more it confirms them in what they're doing, which is not correct. And this will contribute to their, well, this will be it. This will be something that could be an obstacle to their salvation. Let's put it that way, as it could for all of us. But when there's that consistent gratification and there's the money and there's the things, it's like you're kind of playing with fire there.
Yeah, it's just, when we were in middle school, when we were 11-year-old boys and we were in the group of the boys, it was easy. It was effeminate for us to rail on another boy, especially when that boy was gone. Say that boy was over in the hallway, down the hallway, and I'm with my boys over here. I got six boys, and I'm just saying, dude, that so-and-so is just a blank, blank, blank. That's effeminate on my part, because I get pleasure because I get the yeah, yeah, whatever from the dudes, and I don't actually have to face this other guy. I'm just like ragging on him behind his back. It's scary to go over here and say, hey, bro, can I talk to you? And like try to talk to somebody man to man. That's scary. That's the suffering that men have to deal with. And the effeminacy, St. Thomas defines effeminacy, as you wrote in your book, effeminacy is the reluctance to suffer due to the attachment to pleasure. So I'm attached to this pleasure that I get from whatever that may be by railing on my brother over here behind his back without him present. And in order to avoid the suffering that it would cause me, it's scary. You have to confront somebody. He may not like it. He may argue with you, whatever. That's a suffering that you are avoiding. And that, so the Catholic men out there, they're avoiding this. And you, as you said, you can't always talk to everybody. Sometimes there's, super famous people, or maybe sometimes you do have to name somebody for whatever reason. But in general, if somebody has a problem with me or Kennedy, I challenge each of you, come talk to us, man to man. We're not going to bite at you. It won't be as scary as you may think. Like, we can actually have a man to man conversation. But that's the way that we should be dealing with this. And also, as you said, the medium is the message. And there are, as you said in your podcast, there's great limitations to what YouTube can even deal with, the topics that can even be covered. There's some topics that are just so nuanced and complex, it's just impossible to make a video about them, because you have to have the citations, you have to have the quotation, you have to go through all these different other things. And it's just impossible to make a YouTube video to actually adequately deal with that issue. And that's why written debate is something that's very, very helpful on many topics. And a lot of these nuanced topics, a lot of the stuff, Catholics, we're in this time that's really confusing. A lot of Catholics are just doing the best they can. And we all disagree on various shades of this. Like, even in the trad movement, there's disagreements among trads about various topics. And then from there, there's Catholics who are, trying to be faithful Catholics and confessing the creed and everything. And they also resist Francis. And then they disagree. So we're all working as best we can, and we need to cut each other some slack and realize that YouTube videos are inadequate for most of these complex subjects.
Yeah. And I think that each medium has a potential, and I think the best thing about YouTube is the fact that you can make good videos that are explanatory, and that's great. But you have to recognize that the limitation, as you said, is you can't give somebody a book on YouTube. So if you do want to tackle something that would take a lot of effort, you can totally do that. But you just have to say, I'm going to do this over seven episodes that are 45 minutes to an hour each, where I'm going to share my, you're basically giving a series of lectures that you would get from a teacher, which is great. And that's honestly, personally, one of the reasons I went to Substack. I'm still on YouTube, of course, but one of the reasons I went over to Substack is because I just honestly, Tim, I like, I did a lot
make
of
sure
research.
You go subscribe to Kennedy's Substack and give him a bunch of money.
Oh yeah,
please
exactly.
Do yes. that immediately.
Yes, I have so much. I have so many billions of subscribers that
dude.
You can see.
He's so rich, man. He's bringing in the dough.
You can see my children's beds behind me because I have my office in their room. But in any event, I realized I did a lot of research into like what would it take to make a living as with YouTube as your primary medium. And I read books, I watched videos, I listened to lectures, I did a lot of things because I'm like, this is kind of a business decision. I got to make this decision. It's ultimately my family that's at the mercy of what I decide professionally. So it's very important. And after doing it, I said, you know what? I know what I can do to like, you know, double my engagement, which is what I think it was required to do in the first place. I'm like, I know what I can do. And I'm like, there's just no way that I can do that without it being contrived. I just knew that about myself. I'm just like, there's just no way I can do that without either doing things I don't really care about, even if they're not bad. I don't really care about them. Like, I like traditional Catholicism, obviously, but I don't enjoy endlessly talking about, for example, like, you know, when the third secret warning, like all that. I don't really want to talk about that all the time. I think it's great in its time and place, but like, that's just not my thing. If it is somebody's thing and they do it well, like one guy that I greatly respect is Anthony Stein. I know him as a person. He's actually like a great person. He's a good dad. He's a good husband. He's a faithful Catholic. I could never do what Anthony Stein does. I could never do that in a million years because I don't care about the church news almost at all. Taylor Marshall is a very close friend of mine, and I think he's great at what he does. He just talks about what's going on. He's obviously a good teacher. He never goes after fellow individual Catholics. He just talks about sort of those public figures in that place where they deserve to be scrutinized. People may disagree with some of his opinions, but he likes that stuff. Like, it's for him, he's like, you can tell he enjoys it. I tried doing that. I just can't do it. I just don't want to do it. I just want to talk about... Like, I just did a 13-part series on They've Uncrowned Him by Archbishop Lefebvre. I'm nerd, as they say. And that's what I want to do. Now, also, I would say this as well. Like, you mentioned the video thing, you know, when the whole SSPX thing was happening, like the whole major saga, it's kind of calmed down, obviously. There was actually a great sermon from Father Burfitt in California when the whole anti-SSPX crusade thing was really, really common on the internet. And he's got some experience because he's been a priest for, you know, 20 or 30 years. And he just kind of said, you know, this comes up every 10, 15 years. And it's the same thing over and over again. And he says, I think it's just a matter of new generations of people considering it. And all the information is new. And it's just like, it's this cluster, you know, and then it goes away. And then it kind of did go away. I mean, let's be honest, it's kind of gone away. It's not really volatile anymore. But what did I do to respond to that, Tim? I wrote a book. Because people sent me all these videos and they're like, well, thank you for the product placement there. I did pay him for that. And,
where is your book?
You know, but people would send me these clips and say, yeah, thank you. In the SSPX section.
Once again, the product placement just keeps on rolling, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Operators are standing by. Act now.
No CODs, as Vincent Franchini and Charles Coulomb say. But I'm like, people were sending me these long podcasts. They're like, can you debunk all of these things? And I'm like, no, I can't on video because, first of all, I don't even know if my computer could handle a 4-hour video file size, if I'm being honest. I don't want to do that. Secondly, like, it's not adequate because it's just not adequate. Like, you have to write a book, you know? My modernism book that I wrote, like, I love me my trads. I love the traditional world and stuff, but if you're going to try to go after in a rigorous way the real doctrinal crisis in the church, you're going to have to go beyond these social media platforms. It's not possible to do it. You're going to have to sit down. You're going to have to read books. You're going to have to write a ton of things. You're going to have to work with an editor who's going to make you feel like garbage because you have to rewrite half the book. And, you know, I was joking with my editor. I said, it's like the 12-step program.
I think I know who your editor is too.
You know who he is. And I was like,
we
love you, but it's like grieving, you know, you go through, finally you get to like resentment and then finally you're at acceptance. That's kind of what it's like when you're editing a book. And, but you have to do that because otherwise you're just yelling into the void and you're preaching to the choir and all this is to say that you want to do, like, you know, places that have done great work historically. Like, I'll say that I'll name them in a positive light. Catholic Answers, objectively speaking, has done many great things historically in the sense of, like, what could you do with a radio show? That's great. Radio is a medium. It is good for call-ins. Do that and answer as best as possible. But when you look at the old, you know, the old war dogs of Catholic Answers, like Patrick Madrid back in the day and stuff like that, and I don't agree with everything they've ever said, but in fairness, if somebody would ask a question that was like super, super detailed, like, please describe the ontological blah, blah, blah behind transubstantiation, they'd be like, I can't. I'm on the radio. So what I can do is recommend a book. Whereas now this apologetics has turned into like, you know, I'm going to go own the trads, or I'm going to go own the fundamentalists, or I'm going to go own the orthodox, or whoever is their pet hate for that moment, their 2-minute hate, like from Orwell. And in 20 minutes with fancy graphics and 2 citations and some transitions between scenes, I'm going to show you why they're all a bunch of idiots. And it's like, you just can't do that. For one, you're going to completely alienate anybody in that setting that, like, if you actually think people are wrong, if you actually think the trads, the whoever, doesn't matter, if you actually think they're bad, then just yelling at them for no reason, they're never going to listen to you. So if you got into this whole thing because you think that the salvation of souls, which should be your primary motivation, that should be the motivation for every element of your life, from the way that you pray with your family, to how you treat the guy at the grocery store, to the way you park your car, to, you know, how you pray the rosary, to what, everything ultimately should be governed by that, especially your professional life, considering, and especially if you're a public figure, putting things out there. But if your intention is just to own people, you might be right, but you're a Pharisee. You know, like, that's pharisaical. It's sophistry. It's like, I'm going to go have this show where I, in a short span, you know, use logical rhetorical tricks to make someone look stupid. But at least the sophists talk to Socrates. At least the sophists would talk to Socrates, and he would then take in their thing and then ask a bunch of questions. And then eventually the conversation would end. He'd say, have a good day. This is all we can do for now. So it's very ineffective. Like, all it does is it emboldens. And this is the thing too. The people that operate in this way, they're actually harming the people who support them. They're harming the people who support them because they're giving them fast food. So these people are like, oh man, I'm totally sure in my opinions. I just watched that like 12-minute video from so-and-so and like, bam, I'm going to totally, basically they think they know everything about whatever the heck they're supposed to know about. What's going to happen is they're going to encounter somebody who's like Eastern Orthodox or whatever, or Protestant, like a smart Calvinist. And God help you if you get in a conversation with a smart Calvinist. Mm-hmm. Calvin, for all his faults, was the smartest of all the Protestant reformers. I mean, that smart man was highly intelligent. You're going to get there with somebody who's like a Doug Wilson, a church attendee or something like that. One of these really highly intelligent Protestant groups. And you're going to have your stupid little talking points from your 12-minute video, and they're going to wipe the floor with you. And then you're going to, first of all, like, you're now going to be in a position where you now have doubt because you thought you were convinced because of your stupid 12-minute video from the guy yelling at the trads and the Protestants. And then you had an interaction with them and they look at you like you're stupid. So it's not only bad for the people that you disagree with because they'll never listen to you, but you're like training this fake army of people who think they're equipped for something, but they're all malnourished and they're anemic and have rickets intellectually. It's just, none of it is good. And it's going to, down the line, breed a lot of terrible problems that we aren't seeing the fulfillment of yet because it's so new. Anyway, that's my rant.
Yeah. That's a really good point that it is so new and the problems will appear later on. Shout out to Murray Rundis over Catholic Family News. Definitely a Catholic apostolate, does some great work, and it does not fall into things we're talking about. I mean, I would even shout out Word on Fire. I mean, they do a lot of great content that's just positive material. I mean, I've never seen them like going after people by name, like with the way we're talking about, you know. So we're kind of, you know, telling everybody, let's all man up here. Lastly, we're all out of time, but this is an article where I talk about the sin of reviling. Don't let social media send you to hell. And it's not just if you look at pornography, but rather the sin of reviling. St. Thomas says, railing and reviling deserves the punishment of hell, according to Matthew 5:22. Whosoever shall say to his brother, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, railing and reviling is a mortal sin. Mm-hmm. So this is Secunda Secundi, question 72, article 2. So this is basically dishonoring another man. Mm-hmm. So you can dishonor another man by reviling him, and that can be a mortal sin. And this is, it's like, why is this? He would never say the things to a guy's face. What is said? It's like, if you wouldn't say it to his face, how can you justify saying that? Because you're saying it before Almighty God. So that's.
Can I say one more thing? Go ahead. I would also say, and again, you can't always say everything to anyone's face. So if you can't, you just have to try to be like a Christian about it.
Like, just be a Christian, please.
You know, like, I'll use War on Fire as an example. I think Bishop Barron has a huge brain, and I wish he wasn't influenced by a lot of the modern philosophical tendencies that I argue in my book. And I don't argue about him. I'm just saying in general that those tendencies that led to, I think, some of the problems we're dealing with now. But he's a super smart man. Like, he's a very smart man. And when I was researching my book, and I wanted to understand the Nouvelle Theologie types and all this kind of stuff, I went to Word on Fire because they have a website with a huge amount of articles from extremely intelligent individuals who argue the best of the best when it comes to that. I don't mention any of those people in my book. I looked at the ideas. The only time I mentioned Bishop Barron is because he said something that I thought was indicative of something that I've been talking about in the book. And I said, here is an example of him saying X, Y, and Z. And I said, I believe he's, and I even added a caveat, I believe Bishop Barron is a very sincere man, and I believe that he really does want to do what is best for the church, and there's no animosity here. This is just something he said that I think is indicative of X, Y, and Z in the context of 300 pages, for goodness sake. It's not, Bishop Barron said something, so I go do a video, and I'm like, look at Bishop Barron, what a modernist idiot. It's like, that's just, like, both sides can fall into this problem. Both sides of the equation, you know, the quote-unquote, you know, neoconservative types and the traditionalist types, they could all do it. The point is that no matter who you are and who you're talking about, don't do it on video if it's not for video. If it is for video, say good. If it could be done on video, say goodbye to the salacious stuff and be prepared to do a seven-part series of two-hour videos, and or don't talk about it at all. And if you do have to talk about somebody, be very nice about them. Because they're if they're wrong, they'll never listen to you because they'll just think you're the guy who attacks them, and that's not good for anybody.
Yeah. So let's just be Christian men. That's the bottom line. Let's not act in a way that dishonors the name of Christian. Because the Lord said, "A new commandment I give to you: love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." Yep. So if people are looking at us and like, wow, you guys hate each other, you can't even get along, you're not Christian. We are dishonoring the name of Christ. That's the long and short of it. So let's pray an Ave and ask Our Lady of Guadalupe to help us all be good Christian men. We all need help. We're all challenging all y'all, but we need help too, me and Kennedy. So let's pray. Nomine Patris, Filii, Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tua mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus.
Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen.
Nomine Patris, et Filii, Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Jesus is King. Oh.